I wonder if we might start out with you telling the story of how you got your first cello. It's a very charming story that I read about. You were quite young, right?
I was in the third grade in the elementary school. One day, a friend of my mom brought a small-sized cello, saying her daughter quit it, so she thought maybe I could play it instead of her daughter. And then my mom and me, we've never seen it before, so we just let it display in our living room for half a year. But we never really, like, thought of, you know, I would play it or learn it. Just put it in our living room. And then a friend of my mine just came to play some games with me. And she saw the cello, and she was really fascinated. So asking many questions to my mom. So my mom was like, yeah, you seem to be so interested. Why don't you play it? And then I was really, like, mad. I said, like, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to play it. You cannot touch it. It's mine.
That's a good technique. You know, I have an 8-year-old daughter, and I'm thinking of trying the same thing with her. See if I can get her interested in playing the cello. Well, the cello is a wonderful, expressive instrument. When is it that you decided you wanted to do this for your living?
I'm not from a musician's family. I'm the first one. So as you just heard my story, my parents never planned or never thought that I would become a cellist. So it just happened randomly and naturally, you know. I just liked spending time with my cello. I just practiced. I would practice hours, you know, without stopping. So my parents thought I was talented, and they liked that I like playing the cello because I was the only child. I had no siblings. So they thought it was a good companion for me to have a cello, and, you know. And then they were kind of supportive. And then, yeah, it just happened, you know.
Let's talk about the recording. And you have three wonderful French cello concertos on here, and they all have, you know, their own distinctive flavor. They're all very different, even though they're all by French composers. First of all, why did you go in the direction of French composers?
I've given a great deal of thought what to record for my first CD. And I could have actually done something, you know, like typical big concertos, such as Dvorak, Elgar, Shostakovich. But somehow I felt like it didn't feel right for me to choose one of these. So I was like, if I had to record my first album, it has to be something that speaks to me and something I feel very close. So since I've spent many years in France studying, I felt very close to French culture, language, and French food. So I was like, I would like to choose a French theme, French composer, French cello concertos as a title. And then the question was what to record. So I wanted to have a combination of something popular and less popular and not well known, so that audience can discover many different styles.
Yeah, well, from a listener standpoint, it's very interesting because, you know, many people know and they love the Saint-Saëns concerto.
Yeah.
It has that wonderful second movement that is so, has such a sense of elegance, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of French elegance to it.
Yeah.
And then the Lalo, I think many people have perhaps heard that. It has more of a Spanish flair.
Yeah.
But the Darius Milhaud concerto, you've really opened up a pathway to hearing that concerto, which I think is not performed or recorded very often, is it?
Not at all.
What led you to choose the Milhaud?
So as you described, Saint-Saëns is one of popular concertos. So I thought it would be a good idea to have it. And then Lalo is like very contrast. It gives a contrast compared to Sangsang's. So,
mm-hmm.
And then the question is, like, what I could record after those two concertos. So I was thinking GTU or Jean Francais. And then my teacher, Philip Mueller, suggested me to listen to two concertos by Darius Milhaud. And I listened the second one first, and I wasn't so intrigued. And then I listened this first one, and as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, this is the one I want to record.
Well, it's interesting, and you mentioned Francais and some other composers.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of am wondering if you'll do a sequel and have more French concertos, because it's a lovely idea, and I don't think anybody else has done it quite this way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the first two concertos as well, the Saint-Saëns. Now, you've been playing that the longest, right? You started it when you were 11. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you've spent a lot of time with that particular concerto.
Yes and no. It was my first concerto, but as an, I don't know, adolescent, after a certain age, we cellists, we tend to play, like, we go for, like, so to speak, big repertoire, like Shostakovich, Dvorak, Elgar, Schumann, you know, Tchaikovsky. So kind of Saint-Saëns and Lalo were neglected if we ever had to choose between, like, I mean, if you just even look at international cello competitions, these concertos would never in the finals list, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like, And then I went back to these concertos for this recording. And then I was like, actually, these two concertos have wonderful things and as beautiful as other big concertos, and I discovered a lot when I was working on it last year.
The Lalo concerto, again, that has a real Spanish flavor to it, and I read somewhere in your program notes where you talk about people may think of Carmen, right? Because that was another French composer.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that concerto and the music of the Lalo concerto?
So Lalo, although he's a French composer, he was very influenced by Spanish elements, so it's a personal imagination. But when I was playing Lalo Concerto, I was imagining, you know, like, it's the second theme in the first movement reminds me of Habanera.
Mm, yeah.
So, yeah, it's very, very Spanish flavor. And then the rhythms, it's very... Yeah, the rhythms and the melodies so similar to Spanish elements. So I thought it would give a great contrast to other concertos.
It does indeed, and the one thing that I'll point out moving on to the Milhaud concerto is the last movement I thought sounded the most like what I think of when I think of Milhaud and like his piano concertos, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the titles of the movements. He begins with Nonchalant, which is about as French as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has Grave,
mm-hmm.
and then he has Joyeux. So it's a real journey going on there.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience living in France? Because you mentioned you were there for a while. And first thing that I think of is you must speak so many languages because you're from South Korea. We know that you speak English. You obviously speak Korean. You spoke France when you were in France.
Yeah.
You're in Rotterdam. What do they speak there?
they speak Dutch. But
okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't really master Dutch. While I was there, there were many French people, so mostly I spoke French.
Yeah.
And English.
And teaching in Beijing?
Now I'm learning Chinese.
Okay. Along with everything else that you're doing.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. Let's talk briefly about the other two tracks that you have on here. I mean, you have the very well-known Meditation from Thaïs,
mm-hmm.
by Massenet, but also a piece that... was associated with the great cellist Jacqueline Dupré, whom mm-hmm. we know her career was cut short because she died very young of multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
It's called The Tears of Jacqueline, music of Jacques Offenbach. And Offenbach was a cellist, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that piece, The Tears of Jacqueline?
So actually, the title was named after it was composed, because Jacqueline du Pré is not from Offenbach's time, so...
Yeah, I wondered how that worked out.
Yeah, I think somebody just gave this title, and then it just became, you know, like...
Yeah. It's kind of like the Elvira Madigan piano concerto of Mozart, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Why did you decide to include this piece on your album?
I really like the fact that Offenbach, this is originally written for cello, and the melody is so touching. And I know these days it's a digital, more like people would listen only several movements or part of it. Because these days we don't really listen to the whole entire album. So I wanted to record also some short pieces just to give an idea. And then I thought Offenbach, this piece would be great.
Yeah, and then the Massenet also. I mean, that is a... That's a well-known piece.
Yeah.
If people want to start at the end of the album and work their way backwards, they'll hear something right away that they recognize. Well, I would recommend that folks go ahead and listen to the entire thing, because there's a lot to be found on here that's wonderful. Cellist Hee Young Lim, do you have any other recordings in the queue that you're thinking about? Any other programs you want to bring to disc?
Actually, I just made another recording, the second album, last November.
Yeah, has that been released?
Not yet. We are in the process of editing it. So,
can you tell us what it is, or is it a secret?
So, it's not a secret. So it's gonna be a Russian cello sonatas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with a pianist.
Who's the pianist for that?
Her name is Natalia Milstein. She, I got to know her through Michael Fine, who produced my first album.
Oh, okay.
So we recorded Rachmaninoff, Shostakovich, and Prokofiev cello sonatas.
Nice. That's a complete departure from these French cello concertos. So that's good. You have a very wide repertoire, which is nice. But we enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Well, cellist Hee Young Lim, the album is French Cello Concertos, music of Camille Saint-Saëns, Edouard Lalo, and Darius Milhaud. Also a couple of tracks, Jacques Offenbach and Jules Massenet. Hee Young, thank you so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you.